Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. I'd like to welcome Trey Sumner back to Revealing Podcast. Trey's been with us before. He's one of our lead facilitators in the All Together Boys program, which obviously hasn't been going to schools with the pandemic. And then also we just have chronic funding problems. Because why do boys need help? They've ruled the world. But anyway, we've historically gone into schools and helped boys be better men, be more wholehearted men, be more respectful men. And so I want to welcome Trey to talk about an interesting subject.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah. I asked Trey if he wanted to come in, and we've talked about doing deconstructing masculinity and talking about the dangers of masculinity. One time you came in and we talked about toxic aspects of masculinity, and I said, hey, today let's come in and talk about the beauty of masculinity and how we need that energy in the world. And so I invited Trey because he's got experience in both worlds of being in a hyper-masculine culture and then saying, oh, I'm going to go into learning about the other side of things in gender studies classes and stuff. And so you can just tell a little bit about yourself, Trey, so people know where you're coming from.
Sure, yeah. I was in the military for 26 years, mostly with the Army National Guard for deployments. After my fourth deployment back in 2010, I got out and I decided to finally go to college and graduated with a degree in masculinity studies and gender equity from GVSU.
There you go. The beautiful human being sitting across from me, you can't see him, but just trust me on that. But yeah, I asked Trey to talk about this. We're in a transition time in culture, and masculine energy, there's a lot of negative talk about toxic masculinity and all that. We want to have those tough conversations, but humans tend to go on pendulum swings. And we tend to overcorrect. We don't do very well with balance. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of fear of masculinity in our culture. And so we're losing some of the goodness of it. And so that's the delicate conversation that we want to have today. So I want to just you to start out kind of some of your initial thoughts on that topic, Trey.
Sure. Yeah. When you reached out to me at this, my first thought was a saying that I hear in my head all the time: most reactions are overreactions. And so I'm constantly putting myself in check and saying, is my reaction too much? And if you look at it from a macro point, societally, the pendulum swing is exactly right. We tend to overcorrect. And anytime we make a change in our environment, something is going to happen. Something is going to change.
Right.
And we tend to fear new change more than familiar change, I think. And so as we see a kind of a shameful label put on masculinity, you know, or what we call masculinity,
right,
there tends to be a pushback from it. And we see that in our culture today, you know, and instead of embracing that, you know, there's really no such thing as feminine and masculine emotions. There's human emotions, and we're right, all on a spectrum of some degree or another.
Right.
Instead, we harshly label those things in order to construct something that fits a model that we're rejecting.
Right. And so what we see in culture when we have overcorrection, we got failure to launch. We have people being afraid to challenge and contradict because you might be pushing people too hard and not, you know, not understanding their resistance or whatnot. I'm just wondering if you could speak to the value of masculine energy in just developing human beings.
Sure. I was talking at great length with this with Chaplain Brennan. He's the Army National Guard and Air Force National Guard chaplain for the state of Michigan. We call him the Pope of Michigan.
Nice.
He's a really, really great guy, very compassionate, one of the smartest people I've ever known. And talking with him, he grew up in Minnesota on a dairy farm.
Okay.
He knows hard work. And he was talking about how as we shifted from more of an agricultural community to an industrial community. We went from these small groups of 300 to 500 people that all interacted to were much more individualized. And the work status changed. In an agricultural community, you learn to do things you don't want to do and that you don't like to do. And that builds a certain kind of gumption or internal fortitude that isn't practiced daily anymore. And I think that that affects, if you add to that, how we're shaming masculinity. And by masculinity, we mean anybody that's being hard, aggressive, tough. I think that that lends itself to accentuating that shame, I guess, or really embracing it. Am I saying that? I don't know if I'm articulating this very well.
Well, just like if you only have one gear in all contexts,
right?
You know, because there's times where, and this is maybe where we're going to have this conversation, there's times where being tough, being strong, mm-hmm. being stoic, being aggressive, ready to engage in competition is good, is necessary, is part of the human experience, and we want to raise our girls to be able to do the same. Mm-hmm. But there's so much fear and so much concern about that causing damage, causing suffering, overpowering others, not being sensitive to the individual that you're working to mm-hmm. develop. And so that's the, I think, what I hear you saying.
Yeah, it's one thing to embrace your masculine energy. It's another thing to abuse it. And it can be abused just like anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, it really comes down to just becoming more complete human beings altogether, you know, and that means not abusing any of the tools in our toolbox that we have right. to build the man we are.
Right. So I wanted to, there's this meditation I ran across that I would say that I'm not reading the whole meditation, I'm going to read a part of it, where we get criticism often on our website and articles and podcasts about we're emasculating mm-hmm. men and we're teaching people to be weak, making boys soft. There's a song by the Jayhawks where they say there's a little bit of truth in every lie. And so I listen to that voice because I hear the concern, but there's also lots of problems out there with white nationalism and we're going to, continue that tradition. But here, I'm wondering if they were to read something like this, would they point out this is the problem. And here's part of this meditation. It says, in every moment, you and everyone else is always doing the best they possibly can. If anyone could do better, they would. When anyone can do better, they will. Very nurturing, very accepting, mm-hmm. very much of a holding environment and kind of you will emerge when you're ready.
Accepts you where you're at.
Yep, which is great energy, right? Mm-hmm. But as I look at masculine energy, again, females can do this too. There's an energy for like an aggressive energy of contradiction, of challenge. And I look at my experiences growing up. I needed certain people to come into my life and push me. I needed someone to see the potential in me that I wasn't able to see myself. And there's ways of doing that where you can be a jerk about it. But if you interpret that literally, you would never challenge anyone. And I think that's what people get nervous about, is that in this way of overcorrecting, we're going to lose the beauty and the benefits of masculinity.
And I think that's very valid. I think that there is a lot of value in challenging and pushing. And it's complicated.
It is, because you got to do it when there's an art form to it, right?
I mean, it's really hard to use a micro example on something that's so macro embedded.
Right.
So, you know, I guess I can only speak to my experience.
Do you know of a time, can you have a personal time where you could say, I needed to have my balls busted. I needed to use a classic male term. I needed to have someone come and say, Trey,
sure, absolutely.
Buck it up.
The military is a very easy example, because the model of the military of, you know, we're going to break you down and we're going to push you. Everybody's going to get pushed farther than you think you can go. And you're going to get pushed until you are done, and you can't be pushed any farther.
Right.
And that is a very effective model to produce what the military wants to in mass. I don't think it's a very effective model for individuals.
Right.
But I have to acknowledge that it produces success in many ways. It also in turn creates a lot of problems. But just from a personal, you know, viewpoint, I know that, you know, 25 years after I joined, I wouldn't have had the internal, well, I suspect I wouldn't have had the internal fortitude to run a marathon in the desert with a busted knee. You know, I did it because I wanted to follow through with what I had done with my soldiers. And I don't think I would have done that otherwise. You know, there's certainly some benefits I have as far as my own internal drive goes.
Right.
But I could also follow up with all the problems that come with
right.
that too.
Right, so there's that balance. I mean, and again, it doesn't have to necessarily be physical challenges. I remember when I was in college and I was in a history class and we had to write these papers and I got low B or whatever, and it was all because of my grammar and I didn't have a thesis in this paragraph. And I'm like, what the hell? This is a history class, not an English class. So I went in to talk to the professor and I was going to give him the business. And I said, you know, why are you giving me such a low grade? It's you comment that I really covered the history well, but you're critiquing me on my English. He goes, you need to learn how to communicate. Whatever content, whatever subject, you need to communicate it. And so he said, this is more than just learning history. And he challenged me, mm-hmm. and I needed that. And so he could have coddled me, but he challenged me, and I was upset with him, but I needed to hear that.
You know, I I just got back from LA. I was out visiting. My son has moved out there. My brother has a restaurant, and my son works for him there and lives with him in the apartment upstairs with his nephew, who's there with my nephew, who's the same age as my son. And last week, before I went out there, my brother called me and he asked me. He had to have a challenging sit down with my son. And my brother is a very, you know, he's like very on point. You know, he's very good at what he does, and he wants this done this way. But he's also sensitive to everybody's needs. And he actually called me and said, hey, how does Tyler handle harsh confrontation? Because mm-hmm. I need to confront him on this, and that's going to happen.
Right.
I just want to approach it in the best way. And I thought that was fantastic. You know, he was going to push him. You don't get off light. You know, you have to work hard, but let's find the right place for you and in the best way to make this work. You know, and we had a big talk about, you know, my youngest son. He is very, very, very good at being aware of his surroundings. It is something that I have ingrained in him. It comes from my military background. It comes from my childhood. But we talked about you lose a little bit if that's all you focus on as far as intentionality and in the moment. And so how do you find that balance? And I think that was a great analogy for exactly what we're talking about here. You know, finding that drive, that push, that aggression to challenge somebody to be better, not be easy on them, you know, but not being easy on somebody doesn't mean you have to be cruel.
Right, right.
You know, you can challenge somebody and still be kind and an educator and a teacher.
Right. So yeah, I think of the phenomenon of failure to launch, young boys, young men are having four times the failure to launch than mm-hmm. females, which I find just alarming and fascinating. It's like, what is going on with our young men and why are they the ones stuck in their mom and dad's basements playing video games or whatever they're doing and not able to launch? And what are we missing, that contradiction? Are we missing the challenge? Do they not have a place to go?
See, and I think we are, but I think that it's bigger than that. I think we've lost mentorship from our men to our boys. You know, we don't have a community anymore. We are all isolated in our little groups. I mean, I live within 500 feet of 1,000 people and I don't know maybe three of their names. You know, that's,
right.
we've lost that, you know, and I think that with that loss, I think that's where, you know, if you go back to, who wrote Guyland? I'm trying to remember who was that. Kimmel?
Kimmel.
Yeah, it was Kimmel who wrote Guyland. Right. Talking about how, you know, we don't have a transition from boyhood to manhood anymore. We have boyhood to Guyland.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And you just kind of live in this world of video games and bro-y whatever is cool that week.
Right.
Instead of being challenged, taking on responsibilities, whether that be work or family or, you know, whatever it is.
Right. So the masculine script was really good for boys in terms of you'll graduate, you'll get a job, you've got to leave the house, and you're going to do this, you're going to go to the military, you're going to go to college, and there was something about...
Yeah, you either went to college, got a job at the factory, or joined...
This is what you have to do, and then there was kind of, there was this, you know, encouragement or force or requirement where now it's maybe too much energy and like, oh, you'll find your way, lack of mentorship. There's something going on that's creating this, and I think that that's... what intrigued me about kind of talking about what we need, still need that energy of push and encouragement and pressure and pulling people along. That's still an important part of growing up men, rather than just looking at getting in touch with your emotions, getting in touch with your feelings and having empathy for others. All that's important too. But in our process of teaching that.
Right. That can't be everything.
We're losing something.
You know.
We're losing something.
Yeah.
I think of... eagles, with eaglets, you ever hear that, you know, how they make them, they teach them how to fly, they kind of push them out of the nest.
Yeah, shove them out of the nest.
And then you hear what they do after that so they don't come back to the nest?
I don't.
Because, you know, eagles, they build nests out of big sticks and stuff. Mm-hmm. They go in and they take the sticks and they move them up so that's inhospitable.
They create a fence.
Create a fence and make it pokey.
Wow.
In other words, you know, you have to find your way. And that's, again, kind of a masculine energy. It's like, we're not making you this place inhospitable, nurturing, caring. And again, that's a crude example. We're human beings, but it's just that energy.
I think it's a great example. But I think the key to that is up until that point where they're pushed out, those eagles are teaching those children the actual skills to survive. Whereas... what I see a lot of in parenting today or in the relationship between men and boys is not, let me teach you. It's how do I make sure that you're demonstrating the proper respect for me that everybody else sees so they know that I have control over you.
Mm.
You know, and I think that there's not enough of that true mentorship. When I say mentorship, I don't mean just hanging out and shooting hoops. I mean actually, you know, actually mentoring. You know, actually teaching. And that means teaching the whole gamut. It's not just, I'm going to teach you how to box. You know, it's, I'm going to teach you all of these skill sets, you know, that include having, you know, developing your emotional intelligence. You know, you need to have a strong heart, strong mind, and a strong body.
Right.
To be a complete human being. And I think that's what we need to do as men with our boys. I think the burden really falls on men, you know, especially this generation of men who were failed. You know, who didn't have that mentorship, it's our responsibility to acknowledge that and turn it around.
Yeah, yeah. When I was thinking about this subject, I was thinking about different aspects of it and, you know, what is kind of traditional masculine energy. And it's like one of those is kind of hierarchy and ranking. Mm-hmm. You know, we men tend to function more in hierarchy and ranking competition. And female energy is more this egalitarian kind of communal connection, partnership, equality. And I think, and again, part of human evolution is bringing what we've learned and not getting rid of it, but transcending it as we move forward. And I think one of the ways we've lost masculine energy is we aren't teaching kids to respect elders. It's like any kind of ranking, because it's like, well, children to be seen and not heard. And it's like there was this abuse of ranking, and adults were kind of taking up all the space, right? And now it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where little kids are running around and they'll just like plow into you and don't even, and just keep on going. There's no excuse me. You around the neighborhood, the young kids don't say hi to you, Mr. Flood, hi to you, Mr. Sumner. There's just like, I'm too busy. There's something missing there. There's
yeah,
something
every,
missing
every
there.
Shift we lose something, you know.
Just to be able to honor elders, honor this ranking that you've been on the earth longer than me. So how do I have, not that you have all this power over me and I'm supposed to be subservient to you, but a different way of looking at this ranking of respecting our elders and being able to respect space. And
I feel like that would be more prevalent. And I keep coming back to this, is if we had more engagement and mentorship and a sense of community with our whole community. We don't have that. We separate. I mean, if you go back to, you know, go back 100 years ago, they would have the dance at the town square. You know, I remember somebody was complaining on Facebook the other day about, why did we have to learn square dancing in gym? Well, that's a leftover thing from a day when we gathered in communities,
right?
And it qualified as exercise, and it was something that we all had to do. It actually has benefits for social interaction, for social graces.
Get your 10,000 steps in.
Yeah, learning, you know, there's a lot to it, but I think that we don't have that anymore. And so one of the fall-offs is we don't respect, you know, there is no respect for anybody that's outside of whatever we are. You know, we have an arrogant disconnect with anything that isn't in your specific little tribe.
Yeah. Well, the thing that community, we run men's groups here, and you do the All Together Boys, which is a different type of circling up. But I love it when masculine energy is used to do the work of personal growth and work, where there's kind of this kind of challenge, like, dude, Why aren't you talking in group? What are you scared that what you're going to say about yourself? I mean, it's a kind of a male posturing, a kind of a masculine kind of dissing the guy, but in a positive, constructive way, like challenging them to put their mask down or pull back the curtain and talk about themselves. And it's a contradiction. It's a challenge. And I love when that masculine energy comes into our groups.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. I know exactly what you mean. That push and pull where you're kind of jabbing a little bit, but you're doing it in good nature. And it's in a place where everybody has familiarity with each other. So it's not taken aggressively. I love that. And I do that with my friends, and we would do that back and forth to each other without any problem. And I agree, that's great. The problem is when that same thing is abused.
Right. And so it's like the dose and how much of the energy it is. Is it timely? You know, it's kind of like, what context are we dealing with? Is this a context that requires more feminine energy, more softness, more nurturing, more care? Or is this a context that requires more, what we traditionally call masculine energy, more aggression, more contradiction, more challenge, more solidity?
Sure. And I think that kind of discernment comes from interaction between generational characters.
Right. It's like, I want a soft pillow, but I want a hard basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like context matters. It's like, and so being able to raise human beings where we've had this patriarchal society where hardness and masculine energy has been prized. And so then we're kind of overcorrecting and kind of moving into this other energy. So it's like, we got to bring both in this integration.
And we've extracted so many of those things. If you look at Batman, if you look at the original, well, I know that Adam West wasn't the original Batman, if anybody is a comic book aficionado, but it's the one that everybody thinks of when you think of the first Batman. And the Adam West Batman was a pretty average dude. He was a philanthropist. He was all about mentoring young Robin. He was all about, you know, being kind to the community and just doing what was better. And then you fast forward 30 years to Michael Keaton Batman, and he's kind of an isolist, and we've lost mentorship altogether, and he's kind of quirky and weird and a little bit tougher, but it's kind of a mask that he's wearing, you know, it's that suit makes him look tougher than he is.
Right. Yeah.
Fast forward, you know, to the Christian Bale Batman, and he's basically a criminal who's just out for personal revenge and doesn't care about anybody. And it's just look at how this iconic hero of masculinity in American culture shifted, you know, over 80 years, you know, as far as what was important.
And I think that as culture tends to get more diverse and more multicultural and more egalitarian, there is a tendency for for the Batman to become more hypermasculine as a mm-hmm. backlash to all that. And so we haven't had a chance to really necessarily talk about that. But I just think it's interesting as we continue to raise boys that we're trying to raise boys that are sensitive, emotionally intelligent, caring, empathic. And we've had podcasts where we've talked about our work in Altogether Boys. We just want to make sure that we also are very clear that we want to prize masculinity and all the beauty that that brings into the world, into relationships, into humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, it's complicated. I'm sitting here, I'm going 100 directions yeah. in my head. And
yeah.
I guess I really do believe that the burden falls on the older generation of men to really engage with our younger men, and be active, you know, actively engaged in it.
Right.
We can't, because we just don't do that. You know, we step back and we're like, follow these role models.
Right.
And
that's what the Altogether Boys program is kind of founded on, is that people like you going into classrooms to seventh graders and helping them revision or vision masculinity in a more wholehearted way, more balanced way, and seeing the positive masculinity and the dangers of it and being more integrated. And mm-hmm. that's good work. They need that. So
I was, I don't want to mess up your order yeah. how you were doing this. I was just thinking about you asked me about PTSD in the military.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
Just real quick to say something about, I mean, again, it's happening more. And I said something controversial to you is, do we not have the script of, you know, that gives men the ability to kind of suck it up, if you will.
Sure.
And there's higher levels of PTSD. Well,
you said something that because we're teaching our kids that war is traumatic.
Right.
That they're walking into. Yeah. Oh, I'm not arguing against right. it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
is. So they're walking into it with the expectation of being traumatized.
Yeah. That's what I was trying
so
to say.
Yeah. We were talking yeah. about, you know, so is PTSD. Is it, I'm just going to speak plainly, you know, are there people that are faking it? Are there people that are saying they have PTSD when they really don't? It's something else. And I don't really know. You can't speak to that.
Right.
I don't think that's a thing that, you know, I know people say that now, but I don't really believe that's, nobody wants that.
That's not a prolific problem, yeah. let's just say.
But it is, certainly there are more cases of it. And
right.
so what is the difference?
Right.
You know, is it that there's more of it, or there's just more people talking about it? And what I really believe is that the narrative before, again, coming from an agricultural type of community mm-hmm. where you just learn, sometimes you suck it up and you drive on and you just do it. And that was considered normal. And that came with a lot of problems. And now we have a generation of kids who that isn't a thing that we do. We don't, that's just not.
Don't push
yeah,
as
that,
much.
That push
it's
isn't there.
Abusive. It's,
I also think that there's a generation who, I think that a lot of the PTSD in the military, it's a problem of compounded trauma. You know, there's childhood traumas that
sure.
were never addressed.
Manifest,
and
yeah.
and so it just makes these things.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is everybody is suffering from PTSD at some point. We yeah. all have trauma that's not processed.
Right.
The military just gives you a really focused
right.
place to
right.
experience it. And I don't think that it's a bad thing that we're addressing. I think it's
a good thing
we're addressing it.
Right.
Again, I think it's now just a matter of how do we, you know, I wish I had all the answers. If I did, I'd be working in the Pentagon.
Right.
But we need to find a way that I think we can front load those problems instead of waiting until they're problems
right.
and then coming into.
Right. And again, I think talking about resiliency when it comes to preparing people to go to war is not a great venue to talk about this. But I do think raising boys and girls and teaching resiliency and teaching them to push their limits. And when they say, I can't do this, or this is too much, or there's something about that, again, that masculine energy that pushes back and says, yes, you can,
and
you're going to stick with it. We're going to figure out how you can endure this. And that if we raise people in a culture where someone says, I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it, I can't do it, it's too much, and we say, that's okay.
You know,
there's dangers in that, and we got to find balance.
Sure, and a place to talk about your fears, to talk about that, and actually, the Army, the military has that. It's called cadence. When we march around and we sing those songs that are largely inappropriate and not healthy, right. it's doing exactly that. Where you address, if you go to old school cadences that they don't do anymore because right. you just can't. And I'm not saying that that was the solution, but it was a solution that served a purpose. It created a lot of other bad things, but that was a space where you actually had that. You also had for war, you know, the world's a smaller place now. You know, every time I've gone on a tour, I was on a plane and I was there in 12 hours. You know, it used to be you got on a slow boat and you took months to get there. And you had that preparatory time. You also had that coming back time. And you had that there's a process there to handle some deep traumas that, again, I don't know if it was done perfectly. I know it wasn't done perfectly, but that was a thing. And
Maybe there's not enough spaces to talk about it.
And the spaces that are created, I can tell you from firsthand. Right. I mean, the military is not very good with privacy.
Right.
So, like my last tour, and everybody would make fun of it. We all got our little ACE card, you know, that I can't even remember what ACE stood for, but it was about being kind. And if you needed an ACE, I won't even tell you some of the jokes that went on with them. And then there was also an area that was designated where you could go if you needed a safety, I can't remember what they call it. I think it was a safety day or if you needed whatever. And the suspicion was that a lot of soldiers just used it to get a day off. And so then there was pushback, and anybody that went to use it was ridiculed. And it was right next to my flight operations area. It was wide open. You know, there was no, so it was a shameful thing to go use that space, especially in the combat arms community. You know, that it was, you know, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of really good leadership and people in combat arms that do this work, but there's also a culture of, I mean, when I was combat arms, I didn't go to sick call ever, no matter how bad I was hurting, because I didn't want to be perceived as weak. Yeah. You know, and now my knees are shot.
Yeah, and that's the toxic side of getting pushed too much and not attending to our bodies and tending to. So we're here to conclude that we're not. We're actually proponents of balance and wisdom of knowing what energy is needed in a particular context, but. Felt good to me since we spent so much time talking about how we need to get young men in touch with their
I love masculine the other energy. Side. Right. I love being
but
a man.
This is a chance for us to again remember that we're not negating masculinity. We just want it calibrated. We want it contextualized. We want it at the right dose at the right time. And there's a lot of beauty in when it's done well. Mm-hmm. So thanks for coming in and talking about
it. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.